This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hog bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between him.
Look at Radek. He's dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
But here goes Dolan from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Rebound!
Here comes Chevalier! He'll be thrown out of the game! Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it! Head to head! And Joseph with three great rights!
To Turgeon, to Hall looking for 500. He shoots! He scores! Brett Hall! Number 500! Tarasenko in the clear! He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer, and I want to thank our partners at Innovated Companies, InnovatedCompanies.com, for bringing the show to you each and every week, twice a week, depending on what days we can get the fellas in studios. And I know you guys are going to be happy to hear that they are in studio today. I know, judging by social media last night, that the fans are clamoring
Holy
for an answer.
Holy social media. Yes, that's all I got to say. My God.
Do you feel important that they reach out to you for answers, Mr. Rivers?
Well, I don't know. I'm glad somebody in my life does, but holy shit. I had to try and deflect them, because if I started trying to answer everything last night, I wouldn't have been able to get here. I'd have been up all night.
Well, if you slept at all, I would say you wouldn't have gotten any sleep, but since we know you're Dracula.
I had to go back and watch the game like two more times, because I'm like, fuck, these people are seeing something I'm not, I guess. I'm not sure.
Kimmy, they're going to start calling you too, pal, here before long.
Well, you know what?
He's putting up winning records every weekend, eh?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
He's polishing his resume.
3-0. Just so fans are happy here a little bit, get a little something out of this. Kimby took a St. Louis team and went down to Nashville and beat the wheels off them for three games in a row. So at least we St. Louis beat Nashville three times in a row this weekend, thanks to Darren Kimball and the 0-4 Car Shield AAA team.
The problem was they were 14, eh?
14 years old. Yeah.
Won't be long.
Gotta start somewhere, though.
Congratulations. That's a good weekend, buddy.
He's polishing up that resume.
He is. He's got that brand new Car Shield hat.
I can't believe it.
Car Shield hired four extra people just to make that thing. Took him a week. They almost ran out of material on this side of the ocean.
I think it's the first time in my life. Every time you see apparel orders, anytime you see double X, it's always add $2. I wonder what the extra charge was on that.
Right. I don't even know. It's got its own symbol.
just like you on your pants. Same thing.
I need a little extra room in there.
It is a nice hat, though, Kimby.
It is a nice
guy
hat.
Loses a few pounds. He starts throwing shots. Jesus Christ.
Well, am I going to sit over here and take it all the goddamn time? I don't think so.
I think you've given it out enough in your life, haven't
Good
you?
Good Lord.
Jeez Louise.
I got my coaching hat on today, though. I think me and Rivers are going to be on the outside here a little bit.
Why do you automatically just assume that?
I just think we are.
And then I say something, and you go, oh, well, fuck, there goes my argument.
Get producer Andrew over here. You got the board to put between these two guys today,
it's going to be a difference of opinion on several things.
Okay, I know. But everybody likes a good scrap around here.
Fighting him. Are you fucking out of your mind?
One of our listeners wants you to fight everybody.
Good
Sarah,
Lord. I fight him. That? Holy shit. I hit that head. I might as well be punching a wall.
Everybody's heard the new intro. I mean, you can't let Rivers throw hands.
You can't let me throw that many punches. Even Kimby would fall down.
Poor rat.
I mean, 100.
Yeah, I just seen a guy's top 10 fighters of all time.
I just saw that too.
And I can't believe that you didn't chirp on there where he had Twister labeled that.
Well, I'm not done. I was driving here and I saw it. It was Corey Hirsch like retweeted it. I'm like, Hirsch, I almost drove off the road three times trying to freaking text and drive, which you should not be doing. Exactly the reason you shouldn't be texting and driving.
Exactly.
Is because I almost ended up in some old lady's yard while she's walking her poodle. Good Lord.
Officially, how many Red Bulls are you on this morning? Officially.
This is the first one. Just cracked it open.
Crack it open.
You must have got some sleep last night.
Yeah, well, I had to go buy my own because nobody listening to this freaking show
knows anybody
who can deliver Red Bull to lineup media.
That
with
cool,
special casing
drink.
Locked up for Jamie Rivers.
Lock it up, Andrew. Get the producer on it.
At this point, I should own shares in Red Bull.
Yes, well, you should. Well, boys.
That's
again,
it. I'm switching to Monster. Yeah, fuck Red Bull.
Fans are clamoring. They're looking for answers because they're...
Well, where do we start?
Let's start Chicago.
Let's let you go because you came in here all horny this morning, all mad, going to pick fights with everybody. Poor Andrew over in the corner didn't know what the fuck's going on. You're trying to fight him, like
no,
Jesus.
I'm not fighting anybody. I'm a fan, just like everybody else, and this isn't good enough. Sorry.
Well, let's start in Chicago. Let's go there.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, you got
I want to hear it.
Well, what do you want to hear? I mean,
Kimby, or wrong? When I came in here today, he was all puffed up on his hind legs, ready to go, and now he's like, "Well, what do you want to hear?
How do you continue to leave your goaltender out to dry like this? The defense is awful. I'm sorry, it is. It's awful. It's not good. And I'm gonna tell you another thing. If you're gonna be a coach in this league, in my opinion, and you're gonna make an example of a kid who's played really well for you, and I get the whole thing that you're saying, you played in the league, I didn't. I understand you got to put the kid in his place a little bit so that this is a growth thing. I get that. Okay, but then be a man, okay? And when one of your guys is done, it's time to put him in the press box.
That's strong.
Okay, but hang on a second. Okay, I talked to Kimby about this last night on the phone when we were kind of
shooting. Oh, he's throwing you under the bus now, too.
No, I did.
Oh, you guys are talking privately behind my fucking back, huh?
I had a call. He was ready to jump off the goddamn bridge last night.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, but he didn't include me.
No, I know what you did.
Well, you probably would have given him a Red Bull and said jump, so I tried to help the Red Bull.
No, but I'm serious. Like,
behind the fucking window,
listen,
eh? You guys are.
Oh no, I just bringing him off the ledge.
Am I wrong in that? If you're, and again, people want to make this about money. I don't care about money. If Jay Bouwmeester makes $5.5 million a year or whatever he makes, and Vince Dunn makes $500,000 a year, guess what? They combine to make $6 million. I don't give a shit which one of them sits in the press box. This is stupid. And listen, I unlike other people, didn't think Jay Bouwmeester was as bad the first couple years he was here as everybody else. But he can't play.
Okay, listen, here's the deal. If we're going to go back to Chicago, we'll backtrack here because you're getting a little bit of verbal diarrhea over there. And we'll go back.
Speaking of diarrhea, are you okay?
I'm just fine. That drive from all the way where I live to here, that's hard. I was crowning halfway through.
We're at 2 centimeters.
That's why I fired off the warning shot. Clear out the bathroom.
I cleared it out for you, though. That's the kind of guy that I am.
Thank God for all those Lamaze classes.
I tell you what, if there was somebody in there, they'd be cleaning up their lap right
now. Big Louie was trying to get in there, and I had to get him out of there. I said, no, Big Louie.
Stay out of there.
Kimby was standing guard at the bathroom for
me. That's what I'm kind
of
like a dog right now. I feel like I need to kick grass behind me, you know? I'm ready to go.
All the attorneys from upstairs were coming down to go to the bathroom. Kimby was giving them the, hey, hit the other head here.
Well,
I got a guy coming
interest.
In hot.
It was either going to be on them or in the urinal. That's not good. Either way, that's a bad look.
Hey, they said that they were going to go in there. I said, the man knows how to sky dump, so don't do that.
He's gotten accurate. All right, so now I don't even know where the hell I was at. But
we're going to start in Chicago.
Start in Chicago. Jake Allen, phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I don't care what anybody says. You could talk about, there maybe this rebound, that rebound. And some people are nitpicking. Oh, he lives up too many rebounds. Well, no shit. If you're sitting there and a guy gets a primetime scoring opportunity and you got to kick out a pad as fast as you can, I'm sorry. Maybe his ninja or his Jedi skills aren't that great yet where he can kick out a rebound just perfect over there. It's very hard to have rebound control when they're point-blank shots. Very difficult. And anybody who says it's not obviously has never stood in front of a puck, obviously has never sat in an NHL net where the pucks are humming pretty quick. Jake Allen was phenomenal on Saturday, and I felt really, really bad that they couldn't close the deal for him. I mean, it was just... What was it, 60 shots, 50 shots, right? He had 30-some shots halfway through the game.
It was like almost 20 in the first period.
I was going to say, it was 20
at the 11-minute mark, 11:29, it was 30 shots on net for the Hawks. And I don't know why I remember that. It just sticks out.
You have a photographic memory. It's something you never told us.
This is true. But that sticks out to me. I'm going, holy shit, he's going to face 60 shots tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite get there, but... What more do you need from your goalie, Kimby?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to just stay in Chicago here. So let's just talk about a little shit here. Let's just talk something here.
We're going to get there. Don't go too fast forward.
No, I'm not going too fast forward.
Then I forget what
I'm
going to say.
I want to put my coaching hat on here for a little bit.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's on.
Yeah, that's a big one, too.
Holy shit.
So on the Blues this year, you know, we've talked about it and everything, and I still think the red carpet's still laid out there. I mean, I'm not jumping off the carpet here. I'm going to let them have their time here yet. You know, you got a bunch of new guys in here playing hockey. I think it takes time. I would look at it as a quarterly thing right now. So I think if you give the Blues 20 games, I can give you a better assessment of what's going on with the process. With you, what you're saying, Cromes, on the defense, I'm totally in fucking agreement here on this one. And the reason I'm in agreement with you on Jake's taking all the heat right now. And I'm watching plays last night, 5-on-5, and then on the breakaway goal. Like that, you know, I know shit happens. But if you're a defenseman, and Rivs can talk better this than that, but no one can get behind you. You have to be there. And Parayko's over on the boards covering. He's not covering nobody because the guy that made the pass was just inside the dots or on the faceoff circle. So he's not covering nothing there. And then Edmondson's over on the other side, and this guy's breaking behind him. So that's on the defense totally. That's all them. On the other goal, Petro's behind the net. He mishandles the puck. After he mishandles the puck, the guy that takes the puck, though, he skates away from it. So the Bomeister comes over to take that, and Petro comes over to play that too, though. So someone has to go to the goddamn net at some point. And so both D-men, I teach this to 14-year-old kids. I always want a defenseman in front of my net. I always do. And I'm pretty sure the Blues would run that way, but both D-men get coming over here, and there's no one to cover the guy in front of the net. So it's just sloppy play by your defense. So I'll get there, and then I'll let Rivs jump in here. But my last point, and I text Rivs on this last night, watching, and I got to go watch some motherfucking hockey teams play hockey right now because I'm watching the Blues play, and I know they've gone to four fucking specialty lines here that the young kids are playing that fourth line, but there is no fucking excitement. If I'm going to pay $100 and I'm going to watch the Jumbotron to get me excited, that's not the way hockey's. There's got to be some excitement in this building, man.
And that's what we were talking about was the like I was talking to him, and it was like, I don't, you know, there's nothing like you go and you get, all
20,
that.
There was a stat last night, and I watched it on the thing. 20 fucking hits the Blues had the whole game. 20 hits. Well, now, that you got to, you know, Maroon should be able to be getting, I'm not blaming him. I said, but he's probably going to come up with five himself a period, you know. But who's hitting on the, like, there's nothing going on.
Well, and the thing was, and Jamie, this is why I was curious, like, you sent the tweet out last night about how you're not even going to talk about a coaching change, because I'm going to tee this up for you. I'm sitting here, like, talking about the defense, and everybody, you read something about the defense, Kimby just breaks it down wonderfully, like the Bowman thing. I guarantee you the Blues brass is not teaching their veteran defensemen to vacate the front of the net, to head out to the dot to cover a guy after there's no way they're teaching that, right?
No, what's happening here, and if you watch the game, and I really actually – I watch the games a lot, and I pause and rewind. I drive everybody crazy in the house because – I like to know what's going on. I like to figure it out, and I like to see the good things and the bad things. And what I've noticed in the last three games, especially, it's been highlighted in my brain, is the Blues are trying to play a very pressure hockey game. They're trying to pressure all over the ice. But what's happening is they're pressuring no matter what. And that's not always the answer, because if you pressure without the backs or without the support behind you, and without the other guys in line, it leaves gaps. It leaves holes. And so on the Parayko thing, he's pressuring. He's guessing almost, right? So he's trying to stay aggressive. The problem is that the rest of the pieces aren't lined up properly. So he plays aggressive or he guesses on a play because he thinks he's doing the right thing. Bam, breakaway. The Petrangelo incident that you bring up, he goes back. He makes a right play, traps that puck. He wants to clear it straight up the guts of the ice. It's a great play. Very few players can make that play. Petrangelo is a guy who can. He, whatever reason, the puck bounces over his stick, ends up on the opposition's twig. Petro does the right thing, goes back to the front of the net, because that's what you're taught a long time. When sugar turns to shit, go back to the house, right?
Yep.
So he goes back to the house, which is the front of the net. Problem is, his partner decides he's going to vacate the house at this point and go from left back post,
yeah,
almost through his own defense partner all the way out of position. And now what happens is the guy he was covering becomes the guy behind Petrangelo, which you cannot do anything. Now you have no body position on this player. So that puck comes through and those guys have already executed body position and now they have the advantage. So once again, it's a situation of trying to be aggressive, but at all cost.
Yeah.
With not really thinking it through. And when Mike Yeo first got here, guys, let's go back a little bit. When he first took over, he talked about playing within the dots. Do you remember how congested the middle of the ice used to be? Mm-hmm. Especially in our own zone. Teams would wheel and deal and be all over the place. But every time they went to come and take the puck to the middle of the ice, there were shot blocks, there were bodies in front, there were people in the way. Couldn't do it. Jake Allen, what do you have, an unbelievable series against Minnesota that year in the playoffs, right? Literally, like, won that series. But they were one-and-done shots almost because the Blues were in the way. Yeah. They were there for the rebound. They were there for the bodies. They were there for this and that and the other. I think right now, ultimately what's happening is you've got half of a new team, which is very difficult to start with, to play with each other. You got half of a new team that doesn't even know the coach. I mean, what are we, five games in?
Yep.
Six? Five or six, something like that. Anyways, it doesn't matter. You're still, like Kimby said, you're not at a quarterly mark yet.
Nope.
So everybody's getting used to everybody, trying to figure out where they fit in this thing. And if they are playing this aggressive style, I don't know. I'm not inside those walls.
Yep.
If they're being told or promoted to be aggressive, well, holy shit. That's a real difficult task to do well with because you don't know everybody. We played so aggressive when I was with the Red Wings. But you know what? Everybody knew where they were supposed to be. It had been a decade they'd been together. So if you had a new guy, it was like one or two guys, which guess what? You fit in quickly there, obviously. It's a loose comparison because there are so many great players on that team. But the Blues have a great team on paper. Right now, they're not used to each other. The lines don't look exactly right. The D pairings don't look exactly right for me. And I still think it's a little bit of a kind of we're going to see what fits where. But as you're doing that, you can't have this all-out aggressive style if that's what they're telling them to do.
Yeah.
If they're not telling them to do it and the players are doing it on their own, well, that's a problem too because now they're going rogue. And when you go rogue, it creates big problems because nobody knows what the hell you're doing on the ice at that time. So for me right now, it's not just a goalie thing. It's not just a forward thing. It's not just a D thing. It's not just a coach thing. Unfortunately, it's all of it together, and it's creating this little bit of havoc that we're seeing. And this is why they can't close out games.
And let's call and I'm going to call him a spade right fucking now, though. How about my fucking superstar player? Where the fuck are you at? Like, where's he at all the fucking time? Like, and you know what?
Well, he got his assist.
I see him on the power play. And you know you he wants his cookie over there all the goddamn time. But if you want to be like if you know you're a Russian hockey player and you're and talent is out the door with a kid. I get it. He's unbelievably talented. But if you want to compare yourself, and I think you could walk this kid could walk in the footsteps of Ovechkin. I think he could. Not quite to the physical part. Not you know what I mean. I think he could
say
get there.
What?
I'm just saying. I think he could. I think he's got all the talent in the world. He's got the shot that could get to that point. He could play a little more physical because I've seen him do it. He'll run guys at an earlier stage in his career. But he's out there not doing fucking nothing right now. On even strength, it's like it's a missing link. And it all goes back to when I said it earlier in the show, like where's the fucking excitement? Like where's your muckers? Where's your – like who's going to do this? Because if you're all pretty boy scorers, I guarantee you it ain't going to get done. And
well, if you're pretty boy scorers, then it has to be really pretty to watch, right? Yeah. So, like, you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. They're flying high, and they're exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're so fast, so good, and they know where each other's at. They're drop passes, weaving in and out. That's exciting.
Yeah.
If you can't get there with that right now, that makeup, then – you've got to kind of tweak something. Like there's got to be something generated. And I think, honestly, guys, I think that the theme of it right now is, and I hate to say it's confusion, but it looks like players are somewhat still confused with what they're supposed to be doing, what their role is, and who they're supposed to be doing it with. Yeah. And maybe it's all of it, like I just said. Maybe it's the players. I'm not sure.
The youngest kid on the ice, Kyrou, he looked like he looked good last night. He looked
yeah.
Really
but problem
good.
With him is you watch him, and there's no problem with him. Okay, the problem that I'm seeing is sometimes he looks like he's literally holding back because he's not sure.
Yeah.
Right. But, and he's so talented. You just want to take the leash off that guy and tell him run.
Yeah. But there was points in times that he made nice plays last night. He finished fucking checks last night. I'm watching him. As opposed, you know, where you're, and I'm not trying to put the two together, but Thomas was missing. He was missing last night. I didn't see much out of him, but I saw Kyrou creating stuff, finishing checks. I seen Thomas going to a fucking corner, and he normally any normal man would have played the body on it, not kill a guy.
Yeah,
and he just skated.
I know exactly what you're talking about because the camera angle even zoomed in on it, and he came in and blew snow.
Yeah,
so I remember exactly the play that you're talking about because I thought it was a perfect opportunity for him to finish a guy. Yet he didn't. He kind of came in and blew snow and went back.
Correct.
Fell up behind the net.
Yeah. And I'm not expecting him to be the biggest hit, but everyone's got to be able to play that game. You know, that he's not a he's a 19-year-old or whatever kid.
He's having a hard time.
Yeah.
Okay. And I watch it, and out of the young kids that are playing, Barbashev looks great. By the way,
he played well last night.
Guys, I'm sorry. I like what Barbashev's doing. He's finishing his hits. He's
played well.
He's taking face off. Barbashev's doing a great job. So he's got to get out of the category of bubble guys. He's a team guy. He's in here.
Yep.
Sammy Blais looks great. He makes a few mistakes every now and then, but he makes young guy mistakes. They're not mistakes that you can't correct.
Correct.
Kyrou is starting to look better every single day.
Looked good last night.
Speed's nice.
The one guy that I'm hesitant on right now is Thomas. And there's two things I'm thinking of. One, he's either not ready. It's a big jump. From junior to the NHL is a big jump. I mean, my God, is it a big jump, especially for a player that's used to being the guy who touches the puck every single play.
Yeah.
It's a big jump. So he's either not ready, which is okay. Doesn't mean he's not going to be good. It just means it's going to take him a year. Or he's not being put in a position where he's comfortable. So I don't know which one it is, and it's kind of both right now. I'm feeling that he's being thrown into lines all over the place. He's kind of sort of a center. He's a wing at times. You watch him in the defensive zone, he really isn't sure about where he's supposed to go, especially when he gets caught on the wing.
Yeah.
He finds himself in the middle of the ice, giving up their D all the time. He's in a tough spot right now.
The only guy sitting, like, let's be – he's what's he getting? Is he getting 6 or 7 minutes a game, if he's lucky?
We'll have Chrome's pull it up.
So
but
let's pull off there for a second. So who's going to replace him? Fabry going to replace him? And if he does, that gives you a little more spunk in the lineup. But
someone has to drop down the lineup. Then you're not going to put Fabry on the fourth line.
No, I'm just saying, though. But so you bring a guy in to replace something. So, you know, who Fabry's got, you know, fucker if he stays healthy. But, you know, he's got some spunk that he's going to fly with, which would be great for this outfit right now. But I don't know. You're only replacing 6 minutes, right?
Yeah, but
I know what you're.
But that's my point, right there. Is you're playing a guy that's 20 minutes a game minimum in junior.
Yeah.
Which I know it's not junior, but to go from 20 to 6 or 7 minutes, or what was it, Chromes?
8 minutes 51.
Okay, so 8 minutes 51.
That was more than last game. He had less than that the last game.
Well, but now we're gonna get to it. But that's because we only had 11 forwards.
Yeah, that's
right.
Correct too.
So
that's what he's averaging.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's averaging a half of what he's normally used to.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard that is?
That's
Kimby.
Almost you're lucky if you're getting three shifts a period.
How do you do anything with that?
Yeah.
You know
his makeup of it.
I know how hard it is. Even as a defenseman, just to make the safe off the glass and out for 7-8 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what are you really accomplishing?
For sure.
So, and I'm not saying it's a coaching thing, because right now when you're not winning, you don't have the luxury of just saying, well, yeah, we're gonna roll with them, right? The only two times you get a chance to roll with things, just let them go, is when you're winning so much or you're losing so bad.
Yep.
And right now the Blues, unfortunately, they're in every single hockey game, except for the first game.
Yeah.
Right? They've been in every single hockey, which means you're making these decisions that are based upon, like, in the moment. Like, you can't say, oh, I'm going to roll the dice and try to put Robbie Thomas here between Steen and Perron. I can't do that because – shit, Bozak's got a goal tonight, and we're in a tight game, and I don't know. Like, it just gets very difficult as a coach. I mean, you know that can be.
Yeah, I do. So you're on Thomas, and you're correct on what you're. I'm totally with
and
you.
And I love
on
the kid. Before people start texting me on Twitter or messaging me that I'm an asshole, I love the kid. I said I've loved him since last year.
And so
go to hell.
But so you're on Thomas, and like I said, you're correct in what you're saying. And that Thomas right now, because we brought it up, I said he wasn't. I said Kyrou was playing better, but he is fucking a 0.5% of what's going on with his team right now.
I agree.
Because I just think that I'm looking at the makeup of the team right now. What are you going to do when you we get to the later stage? You know, do you get to the, like, watch what Washington did and they won the cup last year? There has to be some fucking grit somewhere in this outfit.
Yeah,
there has to be.
Yeah, no, look at Washington this year. Even the other night when they played the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock was saying that they manhandled us physically. They grabbed us, threw us, punched us, you know, whatever, right? And he's like, wow, we won the game, but in a 7-game series, look out. And they don't even have the world's biggest criminal in the lineup, Tom Wilson.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going there, but I'm just saying they're this big physical team without – one of the top three physical guys in the league.
For sure.
So, look, I think the lines still need to be tweaked for the Blues. I don't think they're a winning combination right now. and I'm putting on my fan hat. This isn't coach because I don't have all the data to back it up. But, you know, I see O'Reilly. I don't necessarily, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't necessarily see O'Reilly with Tarasenko. I like both players, but I don't know if that's a match made in heaven. O'Reilly's kind of a guy who likes to drag it through the trenches. He likes those gritty goals, those ugly goals. Pucks surface, they go in the back of the net. It's not like that cut and tuck and drop and pass and bing and bang. It's not those plays.
What do you do on a team when you're a superstar and, you know, like for like the way Holly played the game, but he always scored. He always fucking scored.
But he had Otsi?
Yeah, but
he had Janney? Or he had Tershaw?
But we've been dealing with fucking Mr. Tarasenko not having a centerman for fucking I don't know how long now.
I know.
At what point in time, and because you're building a young process through here now, Ribs, and you got young kids coming in, and they say fucking Mr. Superstar here that we're only going to give a half-ass effort fucking when it really counts, you know? So I think some of the fingers need to start fucking going towards him because I think there's a problem right there.
Well, I'm kind of doing that. I'm trying to give him a new line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Without being completely negative because we're only a few games in, and I know you have a body of work of his to reference. I get it. I'm not arguing with you. But I'm saying right now the lines don't seem compatible.
Yep.
Like, I like Pat Maroon. I like Pat Maroon on a line with Ryan O'Reilly and, believe it or not, David Perron. I know that you're like, what the fuck? You know, but you got two guys that are gritty kind of guys, O'Reilly and Maroon, and Perron is gritty and greasy, and they'll find a way to work that cycle, those little give and goes 5 feet apart. Like, and Maroon will be Perron's balls.
Yeah.
Because Perron likes to stir it up, and likes to, and at the same time, now you got the big moose out there with them, and O'Reilly, who's a phenomenal on faceoffs. Guess what? In the offensive zone, puck's going back to the D. You got the big rig going to the front of the net. You're creating.
That's a big puck possession line there.
It is, right? And they're not all blessed with tremendous speed.
Sure.
So it's not like one guy's going to be like so far gone that he can't play with his line. They're all going to kind of play within each other. So I mean, that's just a, you know, that's me spitballing ideas. But
do you go back to Tarasenko with Shen? I mean, Shen's playing great. I mean, he's
playing unbelievable right now.
Well, Shen is really good. Yeah. I would go back. I would go.
Shen, Schwartz, Tarasenko, would you go
back
to
that? Well, Schwartz, he's out right now.
Well, but I mean, you know what I'm saying.
I would go back to that, but right now I would go Shen, Steen, and Tarasenko. Because as much as people want to dog on Alex Steen, he's one of the smartest players in the lineup, if not the smartest. So in order to play with your superstar, you have to think one step ahead, like Otsi used to do with Holly, right?
Yeah, but I think I like what you're saying, getting Steen, whoever goes on that wing, fine, go there, but... So you're taking Shen, who's your best player on the ice right now, I believe. He's doing everything exceptionally well. So he's got the – and if Tarasenko doesn't fucking get going and people start saying, well, here goes another guy, Shen's got the – he's got balls enough to sit there and say, oh, no, his game will travel. You know what I mean?
So sure.
He's not going to get drugged down by if the guy over here is not – someone needs to spark this bugger on the wing to get him going here because he's a difference maker in a game. And just by getting the puck on his stick and shooting it – but, you know, everyone says – well, he's got to get the fuck in the right spot for someone to give him the puck, you know. And we've been down this battle before, so we got guys on the team. You got centermen now that are capable of dishing this fucking puck to someone. So, Tarasenko, you do your fucking job, get there, and hopefully we can get him the puck and get because he only needs a fucking second to shoot the puck and it's gone and it's a great scoring chance. But we're not. I'm not seeing that.
When I'm watching it right now, and obviously I'm watching it very closely lately, Tarasenko, and I could be wrong. But I'm pretty sure of it, is Tarasenko is probably leading the team on unforced turnovers. Okay, and what I mean by that is, and this just shows to me that he's not in sync with his line mates. They'll enter the zone, they'll cross the blue line, and he will be making a play that in his head he sees it, but his line mates aren't sure, and he'll cut to the middle and like backhand sauce it to an open area, and nobody's there. And the puck, they grab the puck, they head the other way. In the offensive zone, he'll take it from underneath the goal line, drag it up the wall, make a play, drop a pass, nobody there. Turnover. And they're headed the other way. Right now, I counted like five of them yesterday during the game. And to me, the naked eye, it says he's not gelling with his teammates. They don't know what the hell he's doing. Or he has no idea where the hell they're going to be. So, to me, you put him in a situation with guys who can think the game in a similar way. And now, Shen, like you said, he's going to be that lead horse. He's going to drag the cart no matter what,
yep.
Right? No matter what is attached to him behind him, yep. He's dragging that cart, and that's fine. You got Steen, who, in my opinion, one of the smartest players on the roster. He'll figure out, and he already's played with Vladdy before. He kind of knows the deal. He'll be in those areas. He will think the game European style. Mm-hmm. And he'll maybe be able to get in those positions so those turnovers don't happen, and now they can create. I just, looking at it, I just think right now there isn't that great marriage between all these lines. And one of the things is this 11-7. Like, I get it. It's the new thing. Everybody's reinventing the wheel, you know? Yeah. And it's really the easy way out as far as your lineup change. What do you take Thorburn out? He had 3 minutes the game before.
Yeah, less than that, I think.
So what are you really doing, right? You're not doing anything, but unfortunately it creates no rhythm in your lineup because you're out there as defensemen, there's no rhythm because you're with somebody different, you're not sure, and there's somebody who's on the outside looking in who hasn't played in a while, Vince Dunn, only got power play time for a little bit, then you throw him out there, then you get the goalie pulled, and it's like too many mix and match things, and right now I think that the problem that I think is that there's no continuity within the lineup, the consistency, and when you have 11-7, you're never getting the same match. Like, you're never getting the same combination twice in a row. Very seldom, anyways.
But when you go, and that's a, so he's trying something different. So he tries something, and you know how coaches get. They want to, they'll go fucking just do it for the sake of doing it.
I mean, I get it.
To get people thinking.
I get it.
My question is, when you're, like you said, we're only 5 or 6 games into the ball game. You know, I got a quarter poll that we're going to see what the Blues are really about because it gives them time to get there. But at some point, on any team that I played on, if shit wasn't going well, you went back to the simple things. And number one simple thing is we always took care of our own zone. That was number one. So everyone can play fucking defense. No matter who you are, you can always be in your position to play defense. That'll be my biggest thing going forward. What do the Blues look like when they're going that way? Because right now, as we started out earlier, they're all the fucking defensemen, this is the game they're playing right now for whatever reason. I think that's what they're playing. They're all jumping right now. So at some point, I would have to think the coach goes, Yo's got to say, you know, I get when Petro's fucking going. I get when Edmonds maybe go. But some of you other fuckers, we got to line up back here and let's take care of this end because that's our job. And I think his pairings may be better. That's my biggest thing with him right now. You're talking about the forward lines. I'm talking about the D lines here. I think you're holding Petro back by playing him with Bormeister right now. I think it's hurting him.
Listen, I agree, and I actually written it down over here. And it's funny because you don't even have access to this paper.
Nope. This but gem.
We talked about, you know, I had highlighted 11-7. So going off of what you said and what I just said about how there's no continuity to it, the D pairings to me are not what they should be. I would play Vince Dunn with Alex Pietrangelo. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is they're both good skaters, puck movers. They think the game the very same way. Now you've got two defensemen who can generate speed by moving the puck quickly, back and forth, up the ice. They're able to join the rush, to stay out. You know, they're very, very compatible that way. And the old thinking is offensive guy with defensive guy, right? Like that. I get it, but not necessarily. Because if you work in a five-man unit, if you get used to playing one line up front or two lines up front, now you create this vibe where you know where everybody's going to be. And if Petro doesn't feel like he has to lug the mail all the time, which I'm seeing a guy right now that feels like, it looks like he feels like he has to do more. Yeah. He's trying to do too much. If he doesn't have to, slide the puck over. Vince Dunn now carries the mail.
Yeah.
Young legs, and very able body, you know, good puck mover. So I look at those two as very good as a pair. Then I see Edmondson and Parayko, Twin Towers mm-hmm. back there. Edmondson can play the offense, like you said. He's got that sandpaper. He's got all those things that we love about a defenseman. Parayko moves as well as any defenseman, never mind big defenseman. He's got the reach. Missing some of that sandpaper in his game? Well, he's got a partner now that's got some sandpaper in his game. And then your third pairing to me, it could be 19-43, Schmaltz. It could be Bomeister and Schmaltz because now the matchups are less, right? The ice time's less. The matchups are not as lopsided. Bortuzzo's out right now. He got hurt. I don't know how bad.
In our secret call that we had last night that you threw, but he was asking me the question about, the answer I give him to her is basically what you just said before you went into the pairings was, I find when Petro starts to fuck up and big mistakes are coming up, he's trying to do too much.
He cares a lot.
Yeah, and I told when I was talking to Chromes, I said, you know, the average fan doesn't see when he slides down to fucking block a shot. They don't see, but they'll always see because if you're going to play that much and you're that fucking good of a – because he's a great hockey player. You know, he's one of the best defensemen in the league. I don't care. I'll argue that with anybody. But the puck's going to be on your stick quite a bit. So there's a more chance to make a mistake. Now, when I watch Petro, when the game is kept simple to Petro and the players are, you know, the comfortable that with who he's playing with and, that the confidence level grows way high, then he doesn't have to do the stupid shit. But when he tries to overreach – He does a lot of stupid shit when he really starts to outreach.
Well, you get tired physically and mentally, and you know how that is. You start to make mistakes, and then when you're really pressing, every mistake feels like now it's like gambling. Correct. Is what I call it, right? Exactly. If you have a bad bet, then you lose money. You're chasing it all time, right?
Yep.
So every time you make a bad play, when you're a guy like Petro, you're chasing it again to make such a great play that it erases that bad play. Yep. Well, what happens is you make another bad play. So now you got to make a play that's even bigger to erase the two bad plays that you made before, and then you just dig in a hole for yourself.
And the big thing people really have to understand, so when he's fucking doing all this, and if he's turning the puck over, who's on the fucking ice? The other team's best players, because he's playing against their best players.
Yeah, and he's not getting the support from his partner.
But you turn it over, and you turn it over to the superstars on the other team.
Yeah.
Shit's going to happen, man.
Personally would really love to see Dunn and Petro together. I've always liked Edmondson and Parayko. And then your bottom three of Bortuzzo, Schmaltz, and Bouwmeester. I mean, you can rotate those guys any way you want.
Well, I'm going to finish off this conversation with this question. Pretty simple. I think a couple games ago, you know, Dunn obviously made a mistake in overtime, which, you know, you can lay that out however you want. I know you had alluded to, and some people had noticed that maybe some games in the preseason didn't go as well. You have a coach trying to make sure we don't have a guy that thinks he's going to sleep through it. I get all that. So he sits. But then he sits again. And then he does come back and play.
Well, he sat again because they won. And that's the old coaching thing, right? Oh, you don't change a lineup that won. And it's just.
Okay. Well, but then you come back 11-7 and he plays, what did he play, 10 minutes?
I don't know. I don't like the 11-7.
Coaches go through a fucking process too, you know, and I do it with a 14-year-old team that I'm playing. I'll see a kid that's not doing it. I'll try to make a change, and sometimes you get stuck right up your ass because you know you try to do something to get the team going, but it backfires on you. So then what do you? You're a coach now, so we'll go to a coach in the National Hockey League. So now he's made a move, and he's got to stand firm on it. Or if you don't stand firm on it, you're going to get walked on for the rest of the fucking year. So he's standing firm on it. And then he tries to get himself back out of the doghouse by finding a situation where he can put him. So with Dunn, he's done it. Like Rip says, though, you win. A coach will usually go back with that same lineup. Usually, you know, maybe if there's a superstar that's hurt on the thing that'll come in, he'll obviously change that. But they usually go back to it. But a coach has got he's got his fucking pride to handle, too. So he's trying to orchestrate. Dunn's done something to him, and he doesn't like what he's done. So he's got to get to that point, and he's got to make Dunn realize who the fucking big boy is behind the bench. And then that's what he wants Dunn to realize. Sometimes it works, sometimes it gets stuck up your ass, you know.
The only time I've seen 11-7 work is when you have a defenseman that can play forward legitimately. And I laugh because I got stuck playing forward for like 30 freaking games in Boston because Robbie Fatorik, our good buddy Kimby, I played like one period as a center one time because we lost a guy. And he came back the next day, and he's like, okay, so you're going to be my fourth line center now. I'm like, what? He's like, you'll play power play on D, but you'll play center on the fourth line. I'm like, why? He goes, well, just think about it. When you're on the ice, we have three defensemen down low.
And you can fucking fuck with Robbie's psychology.
Robbie's a little weird, but my point is that if you got a guy and you're trying to distribute some ice time, for D-men, it's really, and forwards too, but forwards are used to short, quick shifts, and you know the forwards technically don't play as much as the D. Obviously, numbers dictate that, but the D fall into a rhythm. And when you have 7D, the rhythm's not there unless you can take one of your D and throw them on the wing, and say every third shift you're going to play fourth line with so and so on the wing. Just chip it and run the shit out of somebody. But now you get the guy's legs going, right? Then you come back two shifts later and you say, okay, now you're back on D with so-and-so, and then the next D is up playing the fourth line. Like, you can keep everybody's minutes rolling, but I think what Mike Yeo was trying to do is he literally wanted to almost erase the fourth line and create three lines that are mix-matched all the time because he wanted Thomas and Barbashev to be slotted in all over the lineup. It's not a horrible idea, but when you're having trouble to find that consistency and that partnership between these guys who know where they're going all the time. To put in somebody new all the time, it always feels like, holy shit, I don't know who this guy is, where he's going to be. And it just feels like it's out of sync. No, it's like a, an engine that's just kind of misfiring just a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we're not talking about Paul Coffey here. I mean,
for no, but I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is. And right now, I think the Blues need to continue to mess with the lineup. They have to, because whatever's going on is not working. But I think they really have to start messing with it. Like, meaning, let's really try some different combinations. Not for a shift, not for a period. Like, let's change this a little bit and see. I mean, you got 20 games, like you said, for the quarter mark here. Let's see what we can get to.
Yeah, you're just hoping at this point in time, when you get to the quarter mark, you're not fucking out of the ball game. That's all you're hoping for right now. Because there's a whole lot of new guys here. And they've got to get adjusted to what Yo's doing. It's a whole different animal you're running. And, you know, he's still taking baby steps here too. He's new to this franchise also.
He's new to half the team.
Yeah, so he's got a way to get through here.
Well, we got a neat little list here that we got some things to cover. let's remind everybody we're Blues NHL Podcast, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Do your shopping at Amazon. Subscribe to the show. It's free. Find us on social media at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Our big push right now is Facebook. Find us. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. The shows come out on Mondays and Thursdays. They're usually up by about 5 o'clock. We're going to ask you to like the pin post, make a comment on it, jump in the conversation, and, of course, share it. And if you do that, you're going to be eligible for some wonderful prizes. Again, we appreciate your continued support and all that at Lineup Media Group. Home of Yo Radio. Big things happening at Yo Radio. Go download it from the App Store on your mobile device. It's free. The new version's out. You guys are going to love it. It's real user-friendly and real great to use. Special thanks, as always, to Adam Smokehouse for their continued support as well. Watson Road, go have some barbecue. Doesn't that sound good, fellas? They want to have us out. And let me tell you something. When they have
you. Well, let's do it, man.
When they have you, they don't mess around either. Boy, the ribs come out.
I'm glad you've already experienced
it. Well, I have.
Oh, I saw a picture of it. So yeah, it's shit and sauce all over from head to toe on them.
Good Lord.
They're not messing around over at Adam Smokehouse. And again, if you're looking for some catering or anything like that, they've got you covered. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, open till 7. And, of course, now they're delivering. That's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. What you got cooking here with 19 Blues?
We've covered that.
Okay, so that was one of the
that was one of the ones we covered.
Matheson on Peterson.
Have you seen this one, Kimby?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Okay, so here's where I'm at on this now, because God, we take some heat sometimes for trying to be too old school and all this bullshit. And back in the day, right? I'm not even going to go back in the day. This one, if you look at the game that Matheson played in, who plays for the Panthers, and Pedersen, however you say his name, plays for the Canucks, there was 5 hits that were almost identical to this exact hit, where guys hit along the wall and you shove a guy, and the purpose is to put him to the ice, because if you can get a guy to the ice, you've eliminated a player. It's not a dirty hit. It's not a dirty play. If you slam the guy to the ice and jump on the back of his head or fall your entire weight on top of him, that's a dirty play. Okay? That's intent to injure. When you finish your hit through a guy and you rotate your body with one arm and you throw him downward to the ground, it's not a dirty play. I'm really confused on this, because as a defenseman, we did that. We still did it all the time. And defensemen to this day are doing it. You watch a hockey game, it's going on every single defensive zone coverage. They go in, hit the guy, and kind of shove him with one arm to out of the way or to the ice. The purpose is to get him to the ice so you can eliminate that coverage and stop the play dead.
Isn't this the top kid, though, for the I'm just saying.
I know, but that's bullshit.
No, I'm just.
Because if this guy did that to Tom Wilson, threw him to the ice, it wouldn't. I mean, if Tom Wilson got knocked out, it wouldn't even be an issue. This kid didn't even fall on his head.
The kid up in Nashville here, Subin, he just did it. He does it to him 100%. All the time. And nothing ever happens to him.
100%. And that was brought up on one of these Twitter things where Subin just did that. What the hell's the problem?
Yeah.
So he goes in, finishes his hit. Yes, it is a bit, I don't want to say vicious because that's a bad word. It's an intense move to throw the guy with one arm to the ice. That's what you're supposed to be doing, okay? It's not his fault that he's twice as strong and twice as heavy as the player he's throwing.
You know where it becomes a – here's what the problem nowadays, Rivs, because when that play happens, I can guarantee you in fucking Vancouver, the fucking internet probably shut down or something, because they're everybody.
I know,
but
you can't have a fan base dictate Department of Player Safety.
Who knows what the fuck they're dictating?
Good Lord.
Like what they come in and dictated the goddamn Wilson hit, so we took care of that. But – that's what's going on. So they cry wolf, they cry wolf. So now we got to pay a little extra attention. What's going on here? Now we got people making fucking silly decisions is what's going on.
Well,
it's listen, a joke.
This is the first I'm seeing it.
He throws him to the ice. Not even his fault. It's because his legs got up in the air on the hit, and then he's falling down. He doesn't even fall on his head.
No.
He falls on his shoulder, which I understand you don't have to bang your head to get a concussion. I'm smart enough to realize this. But the play there is not – Matheson's not making a play to give a concussion to
Who's
Peterson.
Who sang that song, Bang Your Head? Twisted Sister?
The Quiet Riot, baby.
Quiet Riot, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how the hell his legs came up like that.
When you go against the boards, it's when you go against –
The force of the hit, and maybe the defending player's stick might have got caught between his legs or behind him, but it doesn't matter. Well, what happens here is he throws him to the ice, a play that's done, I'm telling you, 5-6 times a game. This one just happened to jar his head, and I feel bad because he's a hell of a talented player. He's the future of the Vancouver Canucks. He is the Sedins of the future. This is the guy, right?
There's your answer right there.
I understand that. But what if Peterson had done that to Matheson?
They're running the fucking league
right now. But
that's
my problem.
On who it is. I totally agree with you because it's the same thing with – we can go back to the other guy, the hit he played on it. If that was someone else,
but you know what pisses me off,
Kimby,
is we're looked at here in this show, okay, because of who we are and what we've said a million times, and fuck, these guys just want blood and guts everywhere. Yeah. No, not the case. We've said it 1,000 times, maybe even more, that we have kids that play this game, and I'd like to be able to have a conversation with my son when he turns 30 without him, you know, struggling to find words because he's been concussed so many times.
Yeah.
But this is a hockey play.
Yeah.
This isn't Tom Wilson's hit. This isn't a punch to the face. This isn't a guy landing, driving a guy's face through the ice after a fight. This is a defensive play that happens all the time, and people are jumping on a soapbox for it.
Go watch the kid that played last night for Anaheim, Manson. He'll fucking do it probably once a game.
I guarantee he did it. We go back and watch that. I bet he did it like 3-4 times.
Exactly.
Isn't part of – now, listen, I'm going to say this. I
you can't get any dumber.
Okay, Canucks coach Travis Green called it a dirty hit. At what juncture do the guy –
He's protecting.
I know that. I understand that.
He's protecting.
That.
Yeah. What are you going to say? My player should get back in the gym?
No, I know. I just doesn't. But to see that that incenses the riot.
But
it does. You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
He should say that's a hockey play.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was real aggressive hockey play, and we got he's the bad end of it.
He's placating to the fucking new NHL is what he's doing. That's what Green – because Green played in the fucking old days.
He was a little weasel.
Yeah, that's what he was. He was a shit-disturbing little prick. So he would run around and do that kind of shit. But if you're going to do that shit, don't change your stripes now. But you're doing it to placate to the way the fucking National Hockey League runs.
Whoa, did you say placate?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Here's a challenge. Yep. Anybody who can use the word placate on Twitter, tag us. Tag the podcast. Tag Tim, Kimby, myself. I would love to see placate.
It was somewhere in the last Playboy I was reading.
Is this a challenge from Scrabble? Placate. Make someone less –
is it even a word?
Placate. Make someone less angry or hostile. I mean, here's
make
the example.
Less? Wait. Make them less?
Make them less angry or hostile. As a matter of fact.
You were using it the other way, though.
No,
yeah, you
no,
did.
No, I
you
didn't.
You said this is something to placate to me.
Wait a minute.
You were saying to rile them up.
No, that's what he was saying, to make it less.
Make it less.
No, you used it wrong.
Hang on a second.
I use one good word this year, and you're going to go after it and misrepresent it now. Hey, terrible.
Hey, you and Lilene, listen.
You should be in politics the way you're talking today. Shame on you.
Don't go there. Jesus Christ.
You know when you pull these up and they give you that example, John did his best to placate her. We can insert Kimby in there. Kimby did his best to placate her.
Good Lord. I've seen that before.
I'm trying to help the kids out in this show. Come on now.
My God.
Well, hey, listen.
Placate.
In all fairness and honesty, for instance, let's just take this all the way then. Once again, the guy doesn't even get a penalty, but yet now he's going to have a hearing.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Why can't the league just come out and say, look, that's a clean play with an unfortunate ending?
It's called fucking overreaching by the fucking upper brass is what it's called.
The problem is they haven't set the standard, right?
They don't know what it is.
Going back.
But why does that happen, though? Because you go out and fucking ding Wilson for 20 because you want his ass so bad because he's committed it many times. So we're going to go get him. Now we got to try to hold these other fucking guys to another thing, and you can't do that.
Exactly what I was going to say is you go back to Max Domi.
Correct.
Drops his mitts. Whether the guy was ready or not or whether he should have been or not, I mean, to me, we all know how I'm going to say it. You got to know something's coming. But anyways, dings the guy between the eyes, breaks his nose, two black eyes. Three preseason games.
Yeah.
basically a paid vacation.
For sure.
Okay? So then they go, holy shit, that was the wrong thing.
Yep.
So Tom Wilson, and then looking at his track record, 4 suspensions within 100 games and all that, I'm starting to see why they went so high.
Yeah, on a legal,
doesn't mean I
on a legal hit.
It doesn't mean I agree with the suspension. But yeah. Then it goes. But here's where I'm headed. Right? They go extreme with that, and now you have this where it's a hockey play, but now they feel like the need to do something. Like, holy shit! Well, we've got to keep these guys under control. Well, fuck me, that's a hockey play.
You know what, the NHL would be better off if Gary Bettman would put his fucking crayon box away and quit painting himself into a fucking corner with all this shit. Like, just stay the fuck out of it.
And
let these guys that have been around the game dictate what's going on.
So now you want to talk about a hearing for this guy,
yeah.
Yet we just dropped Austin Watson's suspension to 18 games.
Oh, yeah, don't even go with that fucking
And I mean, since then, we've seen the girlfriend now. Yeah, she's come out with a letter, right? Like, yeah. Guys,
trying
I'm not—
trying to save her fucking marriage.
Dr. Phil himself called me and said, if that's not the tell-all sign right exactly. there, when the woman says, oh, I fell down the stairs, he didn't push me.
Yeah.
Like, come
how's
on.
How's that working out for you?
Right? Yeah. Like, how's that working out for you? And now she puts a letter out there, and it's like, come on, man. Just keep that shit private. You don't have to defend him for his stupidity and say you were drunk and he was trying to stop you from driving. Yeah. It, listen, if you're going to keep that shit private, keep it private.
Yep.
But don't come out with the I fell down the stairs or I banged my head on the door. Like, anyways, that's I'm going off on a tangent here. But this play is a good hockey play. Really unfortunate ending to it because he's a freaking hell of a hockey player that dangle. He is the most exciting thing, even more exciting than the Sedins. He's more like Pavel Bure was, this kid.
Yeah, and you know what? You want to protect them, but on this play here that you're it, and I'll guarantee you, I'll even swear my life on it, when the guy hit him and he pushes him down, he's not trying to hurt the
son
of a bitch.
No, he skates away. If he was trying to hurt him, he would have fallen right down on him and drove his head into the ice.
Exactly.
I know because I've seen it done.
Yeah. For sure.
You might have done it.
I may have done it myself, yes. Yeah. And you know what? It was a different world back then, and it's not the right thing to do. And you kids at home should play the game safely. But
moving on, the word synergy and the way it revolves around all sports, but much less hockey, is a great thing. And synergy hockey is something that you're real passionate about and that you do. But you know
now
who had
to placate this?
That's right. That placated.
That's me.
I don't even think that's used
properly.
He wants to
be just like Kim. Want to be like Kimby. Yeah, I want to use the word wrong.
No, I didn't.
But for all us hockey historians out here, the Red Army had a lot of synergy, and I know you want to talk about this.
Yeah, okay. So I've seen this movie before a long time ago, and I didn't pay enough attention to it. I think I was watching it with my kids, and they were like, you know, squirrel, nickel, you know, like all this stuff. And so yesterday I took it upon myself. For some reason, somehow, I had time alone.
I was going to say, I'm confused by this.
Uh-oh, alone time, and you're watching the Red Army?
We had some, I had some alone time. Bow, chicka, bow, wow. No, I did not. Welcome back. No, so I took the time to watch this movie, and it's amazing to me. Okay, first of all, if you have a chance to watch this movie, it's going to be on NHL tonight, yep. I think at like 8 or 7 o'clock coming
Friday.
Up. Friday.
Yep.
Please take the time to DVR it, if nothing else, and watch it. Because the Russians were so far ahead of us when it came to the game of hockey. And I don't mean the Russians. One guy, Tarasov. This guy was the first guy to implement like soccer. Mm-hmm. Get to the far blue line, don't like the play, kick it back, regroup, move, this puck possession game. So, but that's just one part of it that I'm touching on here. And the hockey part aside, you watch a guy like Fetisov who played in Detroit, and you see the crap he went through just to play for the Soviet Union and then to try and leave there and then to go back there. Like, I think sometimes we forget in our criticism of some of these people, and I'm guilty of it too, because I only bring up the negative things that I experienced when I was over in Russia. But I will say this, and when you watch a guy, and I'm not going to talk too much about the movie because I don't want to give it away, because it is interesting enough to where you should pay attention. But I do have to say this, that while I was in Russia, I did come across a lot of guys, a lot of people who literally would have bit a bullet for me. And I'm not even joking. I talk about the guys who wanted to put, you know, the bullets in me, and I joke around about that and, you know, things like that. But there were a group of people that within, think about this, within 5 or 6 months, Kimby, would you feel like you're loyal enough to go and put your ass on the line for some Russian that you could not even communicate with? Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, it'd be hard.
It'd be hard, right? Yep, and I had guys that were literally not paid either, that were there, and they helped me get to the bank. They helped me get things done. They helped me go places. They helped shake off certain people from tailing me. They helped a lot. And these guys put themselves in their own bodies in danger, their own families in danger, by putting their nuts out there for me.
Yep.
And I always talk about how, you know, all these crazy things that happen. Yes, they happen. And yes, it's a different world. It is the Wild West still to this day over there. But if you watch the movie The Red Army, it will give you a good indication on, one, how it is still the Wild West over there, and two, just how fucking dedicated these people are to each other.
And not only that, I think the commitment. It's kind of because there's a... The whole story leading up to it is about the loyalty, the commitment to hockey and all that. And the very end of it, you see the betrayal that fucking partakes in it too.
There's betrayal, but that's because there's pressure.
Yeah, for
sure.
Put
on by other entities, right?
But it was two teammates.
I know, but then you see the other teammates who step in and they...
Correct.
You know, it's weird, but that's my point.
But it's... The only reason I was saying that is because that's... for people that have never... walked into a fucking National Hockey League dress room and all that. I'm just going to National Hockey League because that shit goes on. You're playing a high stake poker game here, but that there is when I was actually sitting up in Nashville and I was talking to some of the dads, and I got to meet Vladdy Trechak for the first time because he was helping Eddie Belfour out.
Yeah.
Goal. So
yeah.
I got to meet Eddie, and I was amazed by him. And he was doing those old goalie things that, you know, when they get down in the crunch.
Well, how about look at the way he played the game?
Yeah.
Down on his knees, the butterfly, going shaking. Now watch the goalies in the NHL.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, though. So I was...
50 years later.
And to watch that movie, though, and to see, like, how the training process they had to go through and the
skill,
mentality.
Just, the skill work that they're doing.
Yeah.
And now we're just doing it now.
Exactly.
Over here. Like, it's...
It's a great show.
It is a great show. You got to watch it. Friday night. I know I feel like I'm pumping NHL Network's tires here, but Friday coming up, NHL Network, I think it's like 8 Eastern, 7 Central, DVR or watch Red Army, and I think you'll have a new respect for some of the bullshit that these guys had to go through. Yeah.
You know, when you guys were in the league and, you started to see this stuff start rolling this way, you know, you later on heard about a lot of, like, obviously, Jamie, you lived it over there, but you started to hear about some of that infiltrating its way over here. Like, was it Kovalchuk who they actually had to start protecting because some of these guys were, like, infiltrating?
Well, what happens is your families
here.
Left home, right? Okay, so the Russian guys would leave Russia, and their families would stay in Russia. And this is why now you see guys at the start when Ovechkin, Yashin, all these guys, they brought their whole family with them. And he'd be like, why the fuck is he bring his whole family, right? Hang on, I'm on a roll here. And so the reason they'd bring their whole family with them is because anybody who's left behind was available.
For sure.
To mess with.
In danger.
In danger. Okay? Yes. And so you came over here and you signed a $3 million deal. They'd say, we want 20% of your net contract. Not the gross, of your net. So if it's $3 million, you know, you're looking at maybe $2 million after taxes. So you're getting 30% on $2 million cash. Being funneled back to Russia to leave your family alone.
For sure.
That's pressure, man.
It was Burray.
I think McGilney. I think McGilney's the one that's
McGilney.
Going that way.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's
McGilney,
into season other shit, too. But yeah.
Burray. Kovalchuk had a little bit. Ovechkin, Yashin, for sure. I mean, there's a list of guys.
You go to the guys, and you'll go into the movie, but the guys that really led the way down there, like Krutov, Makarov, and the Fab
Fatisov
Five.
Fatisov was the number one guy.
But
he
said
fuck you to everybody.
Yeah, but those guys are the ones that originally start taking in this process to lead the Russians.
The Russian Five.
Way. Yeah.
But, yeah, Fatisov was the first guy to say, fuck you.
Yeah.
They said, we want 10%. Fuck you.
Yeah.
20. Fuck you. 30. Fuck you. Other guys jumped in. Larionov said, okay, fine, you can have 50% of my contract.
Yeah.
And it says it in the movie.
Yeah.
You can have 50% of my contract. Fatisov said, fuck you.
Yeah.
Till eventually he got to the point where, because he was so respected in the Soviet Union and in Russia, that they finally caved in and said, you know what, we got to give this guy what he wants because we're all just going to look really, really bad. And so they did. And it went so full circle that Fatisov is now back over in Russia working for the Russian government as the Minister of Sport. Yeah. And actually, he was in charge of the league when I played over there in the Russian Super League, and one time you had to call me and have a conversation over a suspension you wanted to give me. But that's another story.
Yeah, isn't
for another day.
But isn't him and Tretiak the ones that get to? Because isn't Tretiak the boss of the thing over
Tretiak
there?
Tretiak runs the hockey.
Yeah,
and
but
Fetisov, Krutov
was there, and wasn't that where the mismanagement goes on?
Well, Krutov passed away, unfortunately.
But I know before that happened, though, wasn't he the guy in there that Fetisov has a problem with?
It was Kasatonov.
Oh, it was Kasatonov.
Kasatonov, and they're back to being friends again.
Yeah,
but. Fetisov came in to try and clean up the Russian Super League. He's the one who found the guys to make the KHL. And then since the KHL has been made, Tretiak has taken over hockey, and Fetisov is managing all sports in Russia. Yeah.
Did you guys ever, like, you obviously played in different cities. Did you ever see anything? Like, then you were like, man, that doesn't seem right.
Well, all the time.
Why is this guy hanging around?
Listen,
the locker
Gino,
room and-
Gino Ogic wasn't just Pavel Bure's bodyguard on the ice, guys. You talk about, you hear these Gino Ogic stories about how he and Pavel were best friends and this and that and the other. Gino was his bodyguard on and off the ice. They'd go out in Vancouver. Pavel wouldn't fucking go take a shit without Gino because he was getting shook down everywhere. And so Gino, the old wahoo there, pull out the teeth and he'd be walking down the street with you. You got this guy dragging his knuckles. You better think twice. Like, something's going to happen here. But I'm not joking. Guys had bodyguards, and now over there they call them drivers. I was provided with a driver over there. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it's code word for your bodyguard. And he's the guy that's going to make sure you don't die. Now, what's really bad is if your driver is getting paid more from the other side. All right, let's move on.
All right, well,
catch the movie, goddammit. Then you'll understand what the hell we're talking about. Maybe we can placate this.
Yeah, we're going to placate the last thing here.
Go back and look at it. Hey. It was used in the right sense.
Hey, no chance.
Wasn't it, Chrome?
I'm with you.
No chance.
Yes,
no way. No way. The audio will show it.
Yes, it will.
Hey, listen.
No chance.
I'm going to placate something right here. And that is, I don't have any idea where this is going, Kimby. This isn't me. So if it goes sideways.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What's he got you doing here?
Cuddling.
Cuddling.
I don't know what the hell that's all
I don't either.
Okay.
Like I said, it's not me if this thing goes bad. Yeah. It's all your boy Riv.
I thought this was absolutely hilarious. Okay. I'm driving in here today, and our good friends over at 105.7 The Point, they've got the Riz show, right, in the mornings. And I don't know Riz very well, but I do know Jeff Burton and Tony Patrico really well. I've known Jeff Burton since God knows when. And Soupy and I, Jim Campbell and I, used to have Friday morning show on The Point with Jeff, Trish, and Tom, and it was cutting edge. Let's just put it that way.
Cutting edge.
And so I'm listening to these guys, and they're talking about cuddling. Okay? And they're talking about there's a big percentage of people in the world who, not in a sexual way, just want to cuddle. And the guys are like, whatever, you know, whatever. And so then they went around the table, and they talked about cuddling within the group that they had. So I thought to end this thing on a fun note today, okay, if in this room, okay, let's put Henson in this room too. He's not here, but let's put him in this room. In this room, in order, in a strictly platonic way, in order, who would you want to cuddle first?
Oh, my God.
Come on. And who, like, in order, too. Like, this would be my first pick, and here's why.
Out of the men?
Out of the men, yes.
The fuck are you going here?
I just thought it was hilarious. It was a great bit. I'm giving them full credit. This is not my brainstorm.
I'm taking Gary in the winter, I guess.
You're getting Gary in the winter? Yeah. Why?
He's on the heavier side. You're going to keep me warm.
Now, are you the cuddler or the cuddly?
I'm definitely the cuddler.
I'm
not going to be the cuddly.
Okay,
ever.
So Big Spoon Kimby picks Henson first. Who's
so
your
second? Remember that big head coming behind your ribs on the cuddler.
Who's your second pick?
My second pick? Because he's probably not going to say that. I'll go Chromes.
Oh, my God.
You're gonna be a squealer, so I'm going to have to go with you later.
How am I last pick?
Because you're going to talk so much. It's going to take a lot of work into that one.
Well, I think I do the talking for us, right? All right, so I'm last overall. Henson's
that's
already
a good thing, though, isn't it, to be last on the cuddling
well,
list?
Well, I don't know. I'm competitive, you know? Maybe I might have to start wearing some better cologne around here.
That'll help.
All right, Cromer, you're up next.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, it's not that hard. If Kimball can do it, you can do it.
I would have to start with Gary because I've known him the longest and probably have, you know, in a non-sexual way, in a platonic way, have probably passed out drunk in the same bed with him numerous times, so I know what to expect.
Okay.
And then I'll go with Kimby because
Jesus
he'll
Christ.
Be quiet. The problem with you is you got to go last because you won't shut the hell up and you don't ever sleep.
I got a nice ass though, Chromes.
I want to go to sleep, damn it.
So I'm last twice. I wish Henson was here. I bet I'd be first for him. I bet I'd make it first for him. I'm going to say that I'm his first pick.
All right, you can be you can do Henson and you. How about that?
All right, so you're going Henson, Kimball, Rivers
right.
on your board. So people at home keeping track, okay? Kimball had Henson, Cromer, Rivers. Rivers last, so you don't have to move that at all. And Cromer had Henson, Kimball, Rivers.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I say this with all love because I love you, but you don't sleep. I got to get some rest.
I thought you'd like me moving around a little bit.
I need some rest.
All right, so my turn here, okay? I'm going to go Kimball first.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? Look at that guy. Hey, who doesn't want to cuddle with Gritty? Who? Come on.
I've chewed my arm off for less.
I'll tell you what. I would snuggle into that backside. I'm telling you what. Nice and warm. He's got the hoodie on. I'd have my hands around into the hoodie.
Get me a cork. No.
Hey, hang on. I'm not done with my picks. And so Kimby's first for sure. I mean, look at him. He's got a nice little coat of hair on him, a little bit of fur. It's nice. All right, so we're snuggling up with a big stuffed animal. No, see, Kimby, that's how much I love you.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
We can both fit in that hat. All right? And second, I'm going with Henson. Okay? I like that long hair. It'll make me feel somewhat normal. I feel a little bit normal. And third is Cromer for no other reason than I just can't stand baseball. So,
you know who we missed in this whole thing was Andrew. I mean,
Andrew. What about Brian?
Oh no.
We should have brought Andrew in for this segment. Although he's little, hey,
yeah,
he might have been first pick.
Yeah, he might be first.
You know what? We got to get Andrew on. To be quite frank, is the next for every time now. We got to listen to that damn show in the morning so we know what the hell he's bringing in here, so that we're prepared.
I just thought it was an awesome segment, and I'm like, you know what? What better way to end it off after two losses? Not really great. We had to, you know, back and forth on this. And now at least we know that I'm not getting cuddled.
Yeah,
you're
not the cuddling kind.
I'm not the cuddling kind, apparently.
ADD and cuddling don't go together.
Kimby, make no mistake, I'm Velcro to you, buddy, if it gets cold in here, okay?
Oh,
boy. The cork stock's going up.
Oh, I didn't even say that. This is in a platonic way. Why you got to go there?
I get you sneaking behind me. The cork's going in. I'm telling you right now.
It's non-sexual way. I'm trying to placate the situation, okay?
Oh, man.
All right. Oh, that's all I have. That's it.
That's good.
Well, hey, you're not going to get out of here. Blues fans, listen, as we end out of here, you guys got to tell them how they're going to write this ship. They're not going to let you out of here without that. We've told them what's wrong.
I thought we just discussed an hour of that.
No, you told them what was wrong. Now you got to tell, you got to make them feel good. We're going to win this thing.
Do you fucking listen at all?
I heard it. But I'm telling
you. Hey, Kimby, does he listen at all?
Oh, I listen.
Obviously not.
I listen. I know you're going back to basics.
I am, but that's the way that I was always taught to do. Go back to that. So, like, in the power play and working, you go back to put the puck at the point and just shoot the goddamn thing. You know, you go in the defensive zone, you take care of the defensive zone. I think they're having. Let's take the goaltender and eliminate that guy for now. So let's get out of him because he's not the problem.
Thank God we're not talking about that today.
That's not your problem right now. If you want to go there later on and get there, but you know there's some. I think there's some lineup, and I agree with Rivs. There's some lineup juggling that has to fucking partake in this outfit, right from the defenseman right to the forwards. And I think someone has to sew some fucking balls here, man, and get in the corners and muck these things up a little bit and get the, you know, show like you want to be there and play a little nasty, you know. You know, I know it's not that way anymore, and
this NHL allows any player to be that guy.
Yeah, but you could, like, we got
it
back
does.
To the point where we used to, you know, you get in and things weren't going well. What would you do? You'd fucking dump and chase the fucking thing sometimes.
Look at Braden Schenn last year when he didn't feel things were right, and Landeskog right off the faceoff. Now, I'm not suggesting that he does it. I'm not suggesting that Kyrou grabs somebody and tries to beat the shit. But I am saying that in this NHL, anybody can be Bob Probert on any given night.
Yep.
Meaning you can run around, finish your hits, go to the net, stir up shit,
yep.
make the other team think about you a little bit and make them chase you. Last night, you could have got three penalties out of Manson. If you'd have just poked that bear the right way, he's coming around, he's going to take something stupid.
Even if you go and do that shit, you know, you get in the corners, you start getting nasty, and just even if you don't win the fucking game, you just keep, because it's going to bring your fucking team together.
Yeah.
Guys are going to want to go to battle for one another, and I think that's what we're missing right now.
Wow. And I agree with you. I think patience, and I know this has been a headline before, But patience is a big thing here. But not overall. What I'm talking about is patience as they try to find the right mix of guys here, okay? Because we're still exploring a number of different possibilities from the goalie to the D to the forwards to the special teams and yada, yada, yada. I think patience, and we've said this before, I know, fucking patience. We're all Cromers. No fucking patience. Well, we got to have it because half the team is brand new, and they're brand new to the coaching staff as well. And we still have another guy who's brand new to the coaching staff, Mike Van Ryan. So all of these pieces have yet to find their home. And so I'm willing to give it just a little more time, but I do think they have to keep tweaking it in order to get the results.
Yeah, I don't want to mistake patience for concern only because – I mean, and I agree with everything you guys are saying. I mean, give it 20 games, right?
Well, we already said it earlier.
But in this division and in this conference, can you wait 20 games if it's going south?
I said that, though.
I'm not suggesting we wait 20 games before we find the answers, but, like, come on. Like,
I was just using 20 games as a measure.
I'm just saying. I mean,
like, it's kind of unrealistic to think that this team would be incredible out of the gate with chemistry galore, and everybody understands everything. I mean,
but that's how it was hyped up to be, and that's where the fucking where everyone's getting the miscommunication part going. Everyone was drilled into their head. They made these changes. The fucking world, you know, we're going down.
I've never seen a piece of paper lift a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but they were already putting the cup in the air, so now they got to get back.
We're always good on paper, right? But I've never seen a piece of paper lift the Stanley Cup.
And is that's the old dreaded we won the offseason type thing?
We did. Yeah. And you know what? Army deserves full marks for that. He won the offseason. Now it's time for the boys and the coaching staff and everything. Everybody surrounding the product that goes on the ice has to prove that they won, too.
There's a lot of time to hammer down on the big boys here yet on what the deals were done. But you got to give them the opportunity. You know, you can't just go jump a guy just because you're five games into a season here.
Yeah.
You know, get to a certain point, and then I don't give a shit and throw all hell at them if it's not working. You know, something's got to go wrong.
Well, they're under contract is what I always say.
Yeah.
And if they don't like their current situation or they're not happy with their ice time, play better. Yep. Because then when you play better, you'll either be on the ice more or we can at least trade you for something good at that point. Great. So playing bad and playing shitty and putting a bad effort does nothing for you.
Hard work at the end of the day. Speaking of hard work, Synergy Hockey, what do you got going?
We're still in the middle of small group training. It's filling up quick. Honestly, there's like maybe two spots left. So get on synergyhockeyskills.com, click on small group training, and try to find an opening at Brentwood or Afton. Everything else is sold out right now. And we will absolutely have two holiday camps coming up. I don't have the details on locations and dates, but it'll be over the Christmas break for the kids. So if you want to give them a little Christmas gift, we're going to have it out, probably rolled out before Black Friday. Little gift for the kids. Come out, play hockey for a couple of days, have some fun.
I'm sure as those dates become firm, you'll let us know on the show here, too.
Absolutely.
I got a little something for you, Cromes.
Uh-oh. What do you got, man?
You know what today is?
Now he wants me first pick. Look at it. Now he wants me first pick.
This will go back. This will put back memories back in your little coconut there. Yeah.
Me?
Uh-oh. Today at 5 o'clock, we're going to put the locker room together in Big GC.
Really?
Yeah, you got to take the from a swimming pool into the boys' locker room, put the floors down, and we're
getting the ice down.
I think on the they were saying it was either the 20th or the 22nd. It's going to go.
But so they're putting ice in.
Yeah.
Where?
Granite City, the rink.
It's that time, babe.
Holy shit! So that's the one that's kind of outside, right?
Yeah.
I saw you there eons ago. You remember that?
Yeah. You guys, we were playing that ADM shit.
Yeah, ADM, and our boys were out there. Yeah. We saw each other. Holy shit.
It's funny. Darren knows the guys I used to run around with, and I'll never forget when I first started messing around with that. He said, hey, we're going to go for the first skate. And I said, that's great. Are you going to come get me? I was young, so I didn't have my license. I'm going to come get you. He comes and gets me and drives me up. Lights are out. I'm like, I thought we were going to skate. He goes, we are. And we park around back. We grab our shit. Threw a thing over the barbed wire on that fence and climb over, and we went out and skated by the Pepsi sign. He's like, it's a tradition. And I'm like, holy shit, are we going to get in trouble, go to jail? What are we doing? But
illegal use of ice time.
Yeah, but no, it was a lot of fun. And
we put the locker room together today.
No better ice in town than January and February in that rink. It's an ice.
Reminds you back home, that one does.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, hey, listen, we appreciate you guys. I know all the listeners do as well. We want to remind everybody to keep all of our contributors in your thoughts whenever you need them. InnovativeCompanies.com, of course, Randy Green, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman. Man of his word, really great guy. Whether it's a residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's got you covered. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Of course, our friends at Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. get down there, try the barbecue. We're going to set up a date to be down there. We'll let you guys know when that is if you want to come down and have a little lunch with us and meet our friend Mike down there for some great barbecue. As the weather cools off, it's what you're going to want to do. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays open till 7. Don't forget now they are delivering. Of course, Synergy Hockey, as always, if you want to learn more, synergyhockeyskills.com. Want to thank Lineup Media Group for continuing to support us and as we bring you the show each week. Home now to Yo Radio. Go download it on your mobile device. It's free. The new version's out. It's real user-friendly. You guys are going to enjoy it. New influencers joining there every day with their new stations. You guys are going to love it. Find us at bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can download the show there. You can subscribe to the show in whatever platform you want to subscribe. Do your shopping at Amazon. That helps us with our producers, Brian Crock, Andrew Allen, of course. And again, on social media, if you follow us, we're going to follow you back because we're interested in what you have to say. You can find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. More importantly, go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our page, click invite your friends. The show comes out usually by 5 o'clock on Mondays and Thursdays. If you'll comment on it, like it, and share that to your timeline to help us reach more Blues fans out there, we would greatly appreciate it. We're going to have some great prizes for you guys as well. Got some neat stuff planned for this year. We hope you guys will join us as we hit the market, of course. And, again, it means a lot to us that you guys continue to support the show. For Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's go Blues!